Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. We're going to go over some recent purchases. So this one, me and Bill were talking about on Geek Brunch. He had gotten a couple issues of Army Fun. These are little like digests, like Reader's Digests. I don't know much about them, but the art is really cool looking on the covers. It's very like girly art. And they're inside, it's basically like short cartoons, like but I wanted to get a copy just to experience it. Let's see what my database says about it. I'll just see what, if they have it even, because it's such an unusual magazine. And they don't. So I don't know like why it's not here. Gonna open it up and check the indices and see what it says. Yeah, it's Army Fun. Crestwood Publishing. 35 cents. 6 issues per year. Something that doesn't exist in my database. I'm going to add it. It's pretty cool looking anyway. ...1968. So it's older than me. I'm going to have to look in my price guide, my Overstreet guide, and see if it gives me any indication of how long it is, what it is. And I know you can find them on my comic shop, at least a select few. And if I enjoy this, I might get some few more if I experience it and like it. So we got Alpha Flight -1. These -1 issues have been really good. I want to complete my Alpha Flight, and I got 72, 73, and 74. So, catching up on some Alpha Flight. This series Bill got me into, too. I didn't know about it, and the thing that drove me to buy it was this. I keep claiming I have all of the Malibu comics, okay? I even had the magazine Conan with the rune appearances. Well, this is a Conan comic that came out in the 90s, and it has rune too, and it's a regular size comic. So there's 1, 2, 3, and the covers are very 90. Issue 4 has rune, so it made me buy the rest of them. I think it's an 8-issue series. But it looks so exciting and 90s in your face action. And I got the full run, I believe, of that. It's 9 issues, but I got to verify that. Because sometimes you put in your order and it's not what you think because they run out of the stock. So my luck, it'll be 10 issues. Let's see, Conan. There's this one. Yeah, that's it. Oh, yeah, there's more. God damn it. 10 and 11. Shit on a stick. And I wonder if they're there. My comic shop. I hate when this happens because it's almost like they do it on purpose. You make another purchase and you don't want to make a small purchase. So you just make a big purchase. Oh, it says my internet's out. So my internet went out. I can't check it. But I'm 2 issues shy of a full run of that Conan run. God dang it. Suck. This one I do believe completed my Hellcat miniseries. From 2000, I needed number 3. and Scott Dormahu by Steve Englehart and Breyfogle. And Breyfogle doesn't have a lot of Marvel work. In completing my Law Dog series, there was a Law Dog and Grimrod Terror of the Crossroads one shot, and I picked that up. I got NYX number 3. This is what really drove me to just go buy stuff, because I missed NYX number 3, and to this is my favorite X-Men relaunch book. And then I'm trying to complete my Punisher 2099, so I got issue 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, and it's an embossed cover. Embossed 26, 27, 28, 29, 33, and 34. So I got a ways to go on that. Oh, my internet came back up. Luckily, I'm not Skyping this. I just recording off the local PC here, or else I would have lost it. So what did I want to go to? Oh, Conan. Let's see what's the deal with that. I don't think I would have pulled the plug on them if they didn't have the full run. 1995. So they don't have 10. Gotta put it on my want list. And they do have 11. I'll put that on my want list. And hopefully my next order I will get them and complete that run. And also work on completing that Punisher 2099, because they were missing a few of those issues. I know that for a fact. So, yeah, I completed that, and that takes us to another episode, and we can talk some listener questions in a while. And we'll see you when I get some listener questions stocked up. But this is just part one, and I'll put the other rest together later. Sorry, I've been delinquent with Mike M's Weekly Reads since Thanksgiving. Just been getting over a cold and just trying to catch up on life before the holidays, because I will be off for 2 weeks. So I'll be able to record more episodes and hopefully get these out on a regular basis. But I don't want to lose the few listeners I have, which are probably like in the single digits now, but I know there's a few of you that still listen to this show, because I do get some feedback and questions. But yeah, I got a weird cold this time. It wasn't COVID, it wasn't the flu. I went to the doctor, but it started with a cough and migraines, and I've never had that before, and no runny nose, no sore throat. And no body aches like the flu gives you, but no fever. But now I have a cough that I'm struggling to get rid of. So I went to the doctor to try to get some help getting rid of the cough, because I'm driving some of my office mates nuts at work. I did get my first DC Epic Collection, which they call the DC Finest. I'm not going all in, but I did want to get the Justice Society of America, which collects a lot of the All-Star comics. So that should be fun to read at some point. And I did get a hardcover for Desolation Jones, which is a Warren Ellis book I liked a lot. I don't think it ever really wrapped up, but it was really good, kind of like some of his other things. When he had that laptop and lost some of his stories for Fell, I think it was, and Desolation Jones, and the other one I liked a lot, Dr. Sleepless. So Dr. Sleepless was really good. I really liked that one. So, yeah, that's where I've been. And I did take a week off on Thanksgiving, came back to a large workload, and I'm behind. I always hate like working in December because it seems like there's only a few weeks, and I feel like I leave things unfinished, and I like to finish things, but there's just not enough time and not enough things moving the way I like. But plus, I'm getting old. I'm just exhausted. I get home from work and I'm just tired. I do want to say I did buy three Ghost Machine t-shirts because I want to support the company because I'm loving the book so much. Geiger, I think, is absolutely incredible. Red Coat is my favorite. I absolutely love that book. And I did buy a Rook one, which I think looks amazing. And it's also really fun to read. So I bought three t-shirts. They came in a really timely manner. So if you're into that kind of thing, just letting you know that it's not too painful getting merchandise from Ghost Machine. They seem to be a well-oiled machine in terms of getting t-shirts and knickknacks. If you like that to support your company, the only thing I regret is that I think the Ghost Machine's coming out at a really bad low time of comics right now. Like, I don't think there's a lot of buzz at the comic stores, and there's not a lot of people going to the comic stores as much anymore. It's been dropping since COVID. If it wasn't for Absolute line in DC, there's not a lot of talk. The X-Men line didn't seem to drive in the masses, and the new Spider-Man team is not creating a lot of buzz from what I can see. So yeah, it just seems like people are going for that Absolute line, and it's a shame for things. Like, I really like the Ghost Machine books. I like the Valiant stuff, but it seems people have totally dropped off the map for that. I don't even think there was any Valiant in the la No, there was one book, I think. So, like, I don't know what's gonna happen with that. And I've noticed, like, in previews that even Zenoscope has only got three books, and there's a lot of companies that they're just like Blood Moon's not even there this month. So, like, I just Scout has seemed to vanish off the face of existence because I'm getting cancellation notices left and right. Yeah, it's a very odd time for the comics industry for sure. But I continue to support it. We were talking on Geek Brunch Retro, me and Rob, that as we get older, and it's not that our love for comics is ever stopping, but if the comic industry decides to help us with our comic cutting, that's even better for us mentally because we get less because we have to get less. There's just not enough stuff out there. So it's actually a preferred way to cut back than having to make the tough decisions on what you cut back on. If the industry decides to do it for us, it's much more easier to do. So we're gonna go to the questions. I don't even know where I left off, so hopefully it'll be at a place I remember. What is the most awe-inspiring comic shop you've walked into? This is from Dennis Chandler. And I would say Mile High Comic Shop and Time Warp. Time Warp's in Boulder. They have a lot there. I think that was amazing. And Mile High is just huge. Like, if you go there, you could probably find most of what you need. Maybe not at the prices you'd like, but if you have a want list, you can find a lot of what you're looking for, which is always a desire. I don't remember seeing any dollar bins at Mile High, but I did see some at Time Warp, and I always like diving into the dollar bins because you never know what you'll find in those, and they do rotate a lot out, in and out. So, but I would say my first most awe-inspiring experience was the very first comic store I went into, because I used to just get them at 7-Eleven, Alsup's, and the drugstore. It was Don's Paperback Books. Still exists today on San Mateo in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I think that's what made me start loving the medium more and understanding that I didn't have to work so hard going from place to place to get books. I could sort of get a pull list and get those books, you know, that I wanted to get. And at the time, I didn't even really need a pull list when I first went, because they had copies on the shelf of everything that I could possibly want. So as long as I went in there on a routine basis, I, you know, could pretty much pull any Marvel and DC that I wanted. And I found Eagle Comics and Judge Dredd there and picked that up. And I picked up Aztec Ace and a bunch of other stuff that was coming out at the time just to try it. But for my money, I was more into Marvel and DC at that particular time. But yeah, I've been into some nice comic stores. The awe ones are Mile High, definitely, because it's a warehouse. It's not your typical place, and it's like a haven. One of the awe-inspiring things was at Baltimore Comic-Con, the Steve Jeppy Museum. Now, that was awe-inspiring because it basically has all these rooms of decades of comics. Like, you could start at the very beginning with, like, Yellow Boy in the 30s and stuff, and 20s. You start where, like, comics were just starting to be comics, and work your way up into present time in different rooms. And you see, like, toys and pop culture items and comics, of course. And it was incredible. It was like being in a church of comics. It wasn't extremely busy at the time. Unfortunately, it's closed for those that wanted to, but I did get to go to it, I think, two or three times when I was going to the Baltimore Comic Cons before they closed, and enjoyed it a lot. This is also from Dennis Chandler. He says, where is the strangest place you bought a comic at? That is tough, because most of my comic buying is online, at comic shops, at antique stores, flea markets. They're not like places that you would be considered odd, you know. I guess the oddest place I found comics was there. I can't even remember the place, but we used to drive to California. We drove everywhere because in the family truckster, because we didn't have a lot of money. But my dad made it a point to take us on a vacation every summer, usually a week or two. And when we did go to California, you know, to do the Knott's Berry Farm and Disneyland and Magic Mountain thing, there was a place in Barstow, I believe, or near Barstow, that was like a train station that had a McDonald's in it, but they had like this odd shopping area in the train. And that I remember picking up comics at, like, every time we stopped, I would pick up some comics. And if I remember correctly, I don't remember the years exactly, but they were in the 35-cent range. And I can't remember all the comic books I picked up there, but it was like two or three. And since we drove everywhere, I would just read those comics over and over again. And we buy like the occasional like crossword or word puzzle things just to keep us busy while we were on the road for long periods of time. But I do remember that detective comic with Hawkman on the cover. That's the one I remember getting specifically at that Barstow McDonald's train station, whatever you want to call it. And somebody might actually, if they listen to this, know what that is. But I guess that would be the strangest place. I would say one of the strangest places my nephew bought a comic for me was he went to one of those horror, what do they call it? The mazes, the corn, basically corn mazes that happen around Halloween. You know those things. He found me an odd comic book that was published by the people that put together that corn maze. So I think that was odd, but I didn't purchase that specifically. So I hope that answers your question, Dennis. I hope you get to listen to these answers. Next question is, what comic magazines do you recommend? I miss Wizard and haven't found anything to replace it. What I would recommend is anything from Tomorrow's Publishing. Like you're not going to find like the Hot 10 or any of the like concurrent contemporary, but you will find damn good Bronze and Silver Age magazines about comics and interviews with those Bronze and Silver Age and 90s creators in Back Issue Magazine or Alter Ego. That's what I'd recommend. There's been a couple of times that companies have tried, like Bleeding Cool tried to publish a magazine recently and lasted about four issues, and then the guys at Comic Geek Speak put out a magazine, but that didn't seem to last more than two, three issues. So I think since the event of the internet, it's been tougher and tougher to make like a magazine like Wizard or Comic Scene or any of that stuff. So I hear now there's a Chip Zdarsky one that's pretty good that you can maybe order. I might try an issue of it because I saw it on DCBS. So I might look for that. Like I think it's called like Zdarsky's Comics. To see, I really miss knowing how books sell. I would love to know how my Ghost Machine books are doing and how my Skybound Transformer Energon universe is doing because I really am invested in those books. In Marvel and DC, I would like to know like what's hot and what's not. Not for money purposes, but just for knowing like. Are people liking what I'm liking, or is it just going by the wayside? I would like to know how Flash Gordon and Dick Tracy are selling from Mad Cave because I'm enjoying those books, and how Valiant's doing. Are they really in the 2,000 range or 4,000 range or higher? Like I just have no fucking idea. And comics that are in the magazine format, I would suggest they're not comic magazines, but they're comic books. Magazines are Warrant's Shutter Magazine and Vampirous Camellia. Those are really good horror anthologies that I think you'd get into, and Savage Sword of Conan, of course. But I think you're getting at like things that are Wizard, and yeah, they come and go. They don't last because they don't sell. Because the internet beats it, you know? So, yeah, hope that answers your question. I'll do one more question. Kirk says, how many pairs of underoos did you have? Man, I only remember having Aquaman under ruse and Superman under ruse, and I don't remember any others. So I would say two pairs of under ruse. I loved my Aquaman under ruse more than anything because Aquaman to me was like an obscure character. You could get it under ruse. I don't think I ever had any Marvel under ruse that I can recall. It was always Superman. I didn't even have any Batman under ruse. It was mostly Superman and Aquaman. That was a quick one. Here's another quick one, I think. Why didn't you write me a letter when we were kids after they published my address in a comic and asked me if we could be comic book buddies? You know, Kirk, I really wish that I knew you and I was closer to you. Like, I know we podcasted together and we've talked at cons and stuff, but I find your comic collecting fascinating, and I really do seriously would like to help you when I retire. If I could still walk and move around and lift boxes, just go to your house and just help you with some archiving of some stuff if that offer is still available. But yeah, I wish we were friends much earlier, 'cause I know we both love comic books. We're definitely different types of collectors. You seem to be a specialist in war comics and obscure stuff and westerns, and you know, I always was a big hitting Marvel and DC guy. Well aware of the war comics because that was my entry point with Sergeant Rock and stuff. But definitely not as much into the obscure stuff that you sent away for, and I think it's fascinating to see some of your stuff that you've acquired over the years, and I think many of the stuff that you did acquire early is quite valuable. So yeah, I wish we knew each other going back to, you know, elementary school. That would have been cool. It'd have been cool to have a comic book buddy back then. Instead, I had a few buddies, but man, with the exception of one guy, his name was Michael Einhorn. Not, I mean, yes, people got comics and they read comics, but they weren't like us, man. They were such a big part of our lives. Here's one other question from Kirk. Are you coming back to Heroes Con so we can meet Josh George Art? Yeah, I'd love to go to Heroes Con again, hopefully next year. I know that I have a vacation scheduled with my brother, and I don't know how that's going to align with Heroes Con or work, but last year we were going to it's basically going to a ski resort that my brother gets with family, and my father-in-law died, so me and Barb headed to Albuquerque instead of the ski town, and didn't have a vacation at that time, but this year we're planning it again. But yeah, Heroes Con is definitely my favorite. Would like to go there if I can't hit Heroes. Baltimore's the next one that I like to go to. Hope to see you there. I think that's where I'll stop, and I will pause and go to calculate some weekly reads and be right back. All right, we're back, and I was looking at the weeks that I September 9th through September 5th, and September 16th through September 22nd. And man, I really didn't read a lot of comics, so I'm going to do 2 weeks. 2 weeks. September 9th through the 15th, there was 13 comics read. This was right before Heroes Con. So I was probably working a lot to try to get ready for my vacation. One Titan, one Penthouse Comics, one Image, and, sorry, five Image. I'm going to count five, even though it was one. So if we do five, that would make it 14, 15, 16, 16. So when I read a trade, I don't count it as one. I count it about what the content is in the trade. So movies watched a lot that week. So that's probably why there was such few comic books, you know, conflict of mediums. But I saw the 4 out of 5s were Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I enjoyed that. I saw Summon the Darkness. That was about a three rocker chicks in the 80s, like around the satanic cult time, drawing in guys, and it was like a satanic cult. Thanksgiving was a horror movie by, God, I can't think of his name. I mean, it'll come back to me. Seth something. I can't remember. That was really good. I liked that one way more than I thought. Rebel Ridge. That was good. And the 5 out of 5 was at the theater Speak No Evil. So a lot of exercise movies and a theater release that week. There were 16 comics, one Titan, one Penthouse Comics, 5 Image, 9 Comixology. So look at the digital going there. Bloodstrike trade paperback, which had 5 issues of Bloodstrike. There are a couple issues in there that didn't finish, which it wasn't like a good trade to have in terms of continuous storytelling, but it was a good trade to have for Rob Liefeld fans enjoying Bloodstrike because it covered some of the important issues, but not in a continual way. So yeah, I enjoyed that. A 4 out of 5. Penthouse Comics number 3. I just put in here, so tame to the original. The magazine does a good job of summarizing the previous issue before the ongoing stories. My favorite is The Dream by Jean Defoe and March Gilliam. All of them are interesting, great stories with great art. Cold Hard Cash is about some women that were teachers or involved with the teaching structure that hire these two women to get help to try to find who's trying to take money from the schools. And that was really good. That was a Comixology. I read 3 and 5 from Titan Comics, Savage Sword of Conan. The series has been so much fun so far. It's a bunch of stories related to the Blackstone. We have Conan, Solomon Kane, Brissa, Conrad and Kirawan, Dark Agnes, and El Barak stories. So a lot of different stories there. And then another Comixology, She's Running on Fumes. This was like a 5 out of 5, so the only 5 out of 5 that week. This was a cool story. Highly recommended on Comixology. If you have Comixology Unlimited, or if this comes to some kind of trade on Dark Horse, but I don't think I've seen it. But yeah, I would highly recommend this story. basically about a woman's life, but she gets caught up into some badness because of her husband and the way he lived his life. But it is excellent, really excellent book. So then we get to the next week where I was at Baltimore Comic Con. Only one movie watched, and that was On the Plane, The Pope's Exorcist with Russell Crowe. That was very entertaining, a 4 out of 5. 11 comics read, 9 Marvel and 2 Bad Bug. These were all related to Kazar and Shaun of the She-Devil. And this all this stuff came about because we were eating at the Hard Rock Cafe, I believe, with Alan on day one, or maybe it was before day one. And we were talking about comics, and we got talking about the Mandrill and Necra stories. And he got me off reading this series about the Mandrill, who's like Purple Man for the most part for females. He can control, he releases these pheromones. He's basically a baboon, but he can control women's pheromones and control them. And then Necra, who is a vampire, but the interesting thing about him is Mandrill's black and Necra is white, I believe. And the way they it was done, like the way it was done on their culture, because they are allies in the story, but you always are wondering, is Mandrill controlling Necra? Like it's very questionable. But this led to a bunch of Marvel reading on the app because I didn't take a lot of books with me to Heroes Con. Marvel 2-in-1 number 3, Daredevil 109 through 112, Kazar 1 and 2, and Shaun of the She-Devil 4 and 5. And then the only other book I read, all of those were 4 out of 5s. Another 4 out of 5 was Flickering Lights number 2 and 3. I read one and decided not to get this, but they had a booth there, and this was a really awkward situation because it's one of those things where I like open my mouth and say the worst possible thing you could say, and you don't intend it to be mean, but I don't even know why I said it, because you shouldn't say things like this. But I was at the Bad Bug, and I'm a big fan of their Kickstarters. And I'm browsing the books, and I was telling him how much I like, these Bad Bug books. And I said, there's only one that I don't read, and it's Flickering Lights, because I didn't care for the first issue. And the guy was like, huh. Well, it was fucking the guy from Flickering Lights that I was talking to. And you're like, oh, fuck. So I kind of had this guilt thing going on, right? So I said, well, I'll pick up the next 2 issues and see how it goes, because I decided not to go with it, after I read the first one. And I actually did. I promise it wasn't like guilt. I really did like this thing. But its sexual identities infect the crew of various ships through sexual arousal and then change them into flickering lights. But it's really well done. Like, it's very sci-fi suspenseful, and you don't know what's going to happen in the next turn. And I did support the Kickstarter for issue 4. So really curious to see how that goes. But yeah, it's funny how the world works sometimes. And that's where I'll stop, because my voice is starting to feel kind of raspy, and I really should do another week, but I might do one tomorrow. But I want to thank you for listening, and I'll try to get this episode out in a couple hours so I have something to release. And we'll talk to you soon. Again, this is Mike Myers from Geek Brunch Podcasts and Geek Brunch Retro and DC Spotlight and Mike M's Weekly Reads. And thank you for listening. And let me know if you listen. It's important to let the people that are doing podcasts know that you're out there. Especially when they don't look at numbers like me. Because, like I said, I don't know you're out there, and I don't know who listens or supports the show. And sometimes it's easy to think, is there anybody listening? Should I just stop and spend the rest of the time reading comics? But if you're out there, let me know. I kind of like doing this anyway, because it's a way for me to remember things better. And it's kind of like a diary for myself. But now that we have limited space on the storage server, it sucks, because I always thought of this as like an ongoing diary that I could just have out there. It's more like a sliding window diary. So, yes. Thank you for listening, and keep reading comics like the... who says that? Contest of Challengers podcast. So, yeah, I'll give credit there, because I do listen to that podcast. It's a business podcast. So I will talk to you soon, and take care, and I hope you guys have a good holiday.